Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Gas lines, empty shelves, inflation, shortages and perceived shortages. It was during the oil embargo of 1973, the prices of oil and gasoline were driven up. Gas lines formed at all of the pumps around the nation, only to be repeated again in 1979 during another oil crisis. There was a song recorded by gospel group Imperials at the time. It reminds us of something important. The lyrics said, "But I know a good thing that there's no shortage of. There's no shortage on God's mercy. There's no shortage on God's love. That in the glory of heaven, God's got this. He's not panicked. He's got everything you and I need." Hello, this is Ken Gurley on Daily Devotion this week. We're discussing faith for hard times. It's important to recall during difficult times that heaven is overflowing with blessings. We simply cannot fathom the love of God, so measureless, so strong. It's called an a fortiori argument in logic that if something lesser is true, then it naturally flows that the corollary is true. If a brain surgeon can operate on the human brain, then could you trust him to put a Band-Aid on a bobo? If a nuclear engineer can mathematically determine the exact amount of fuel needed in a reactor, then couldn't you trust him to pour milk into cereal for you? If a building supervisor can raise skyscrapers 40, 50, 60 stories above the ground, then couldn't he build you a doghouse? If God can fashion the stars, the sun, the moon above, if God can hang this earth on seemingly nothing, tilted at 23.5 degrees, if God can hurtle this globe through space at 66,000 miles per hour, if he can spin this globe around its invisible axis at over 1,000 miles an hour, if he can bring the seasons in their course, if he can mix the right atmosphere for us to breathe, if he can create these bodies, these marvels of medical science, if he can do all of that, then how much more does he have in store for us? I like what James said, "But he giveth more grace." God is always able to do more, exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or dream. Why else would the disciples have asked the Lord to increase their faith if he wasn't able to give more faith? Why else would Jabez have been honored by God when he said, "God, I want more," unless God was able to do more than he could anticipate? We need to be reminded to lift our eyes to heaven. As the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved, the Lord that keepeth thee." Irrespective of any shortage, regardless of all the enemy has planned for this world, heaven brims with supply. There's no depletion of its blessings. The reservoir of his love and mercy are full. His compassions fail not. His strength is unlimited, his power incomparable. There's no shortage, no shortage whatsoever. Heaven still has enough mercy and love to go around. Heaven's blessings, though, go unclaimed. Each and every child of God has large tracts of territory which have not yet been annexed. We have possibilities that have not yet been acquired and attained. Blessings promised to us that we have never enjoyed, those things that are ours and yet not ours. We have a right to them. Our names are on the title deed placed there by the Lord himself. They are ours, but we don't possess them. They remain unclaimed. And we allow many good things in life to pass us by because we refuse to lay hold on them. Through fear, disinterest, doubt, rebellion, disobedience, many good things are within our midst, yet we have not appropriated them into our lives. In fact, we tend to take things which don't belong to us as if they do belong to us. We nurse grudges and offenses when they don't belong to us. We fight battles which are not ours. They belong to the Lord. We claim things as our own, which are not ours. We say things like, my arthritis has been bothering me. Really, does your arthritis belong to you? Or would God like to give you healing in that place? Why don't you say, this arthritis is bothering me, but I believe God has something better for me. I claim the bloodstains Jesus shed for me at Calvary. Ramoth-Gilead was one of the six cities of refuge that God had given Israel. It was lost to the Israelites because they didn't arise and claim it. Ramoth means heights. Indeed, there are some heights that belong to us, but we haven't possessed them. Healings, inward peace, the freedom to conquer a habit and to live above it, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, heights such as a successful marriage, a happy home. Some people fail to see the true value of the things they rightfully possess. That was Esau. Esau had a birthright, which made him the religious leader of the family of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and it should have been Esau. But the Bible says he despised his birthright. What does that mean? It means he undervalued it. It was worth only a bowl of lentils. Michelangelo's great sculpture of David fighting Goliath was fashioned from a piece of marble discarded as worthless by another artist. But the master took it and fashioned one of the greatest works of art in history. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I thank God for the Jacobs of this world who will say, Esau, if you don't see its worth, I do. May God grant us the ability to see the worth of spiritual things. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, you didn't realize the hour of your visitation. I tried to gather you, but you refused. You valued something else, something more than my presence. Heaven's blessings are worth it. Some may say, I'm not worthy to receive them. Some of us are held back, not by physical things, but emotionally, maybe a feeling of inferiority. We're like the starving young man I read about recently. He was so hungry, yet he felt so unworthy to ask someone for food. He was in a strange city, and he knew no one there. He was so far down, he didn't think he was worthy to go back home and ask his father to forgive him and take him back. What he didn't understand is that this sense of unworthiness was nothing but wounded pride. One day, when he was so weak he could hardly stand, a gentleman passed by. The young man decided then and there if he didn't get something to eat, he would die. Not even looking up, he said, sir, I'm hungry. Could you get me something to eat? The gentleman looked down at the young man at his feet. He saw the filthy clothing, the overgrown beard, the scraggly hair, the skin hanging loose on his emaciated frame. Please, sir, the pitiful young man cried. And he looked up through glazed eyes into those of a stranger. The gentleman was moved with compassion. Son, you can ask me anytime for food. After all, I'm your father, and I've been searching for you for a long time. Some say I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy for God to love me, for him to show me any kindness. Each and every day, though, you receive the blessings of God. You breathe the air he made. You eat the food his earth prepared it. You enjoy his world. His hands created it. What makes you think that you are unworthy to also receive his bountiful supply of love? Some say, well, I'm not willing to pay the price. There are some people who count the cost and just decide it's not worth it. Some of God's possessions come into our lives only through some effort. We sing Jesus paid it all, and indeed he did, but it's up to us to possess it. He paid to give it to us. But in the act of receiving, there is a price to it as well. I read this story a while back and forgot where I read it, searched for it off and on, but the other day it just came to me. It was a while back, one of my sons-in-law recommended a book to me, and I thought, that sounds familiar. And when I purchased the book, I realized this is where I read the story. The story involves a man who was in a car wreck, and while unconscious, God took him on a journey to different places and times to visit with people who have something to say to him, something that could alter his life. One of his final visits was not on earth, but in heaven. And the person who met him was not a man, but an angel, the Christmas angel, Gabriel. When the man gets over his amazement, he looks around and he's in a large building. It's filled with so many things, papers, photographs, shelves, stuffed full of items. They walk and walk and walk, but don't ever seem to come to the end of the building. Finally, they stop, and the man asks, "Have I seen it all?" The angel said, "You've only seen a tiny fraction of this facility. A lifetime of wandering would never cover it all. And sadly, it gets bigger every day." And the man asked, "What is this place?" The angel answered, "This is the place where we keep all of the things that were about to be delivered to a person just as they stopped praying and believing for them. The contents of this warehouse are filled with the dreams and the goals of the less courageous. There were cures for diseases. There were inventions. There were blessings. There were answers to prayer." Kathy Toops once said, "In the inner realm of heaven above, we are all discussed with perfect love. He longs to give what we yearn for ourselves, yet blessings lay unclaimed on hundreds of shelves. There's no shortage in heaven. The promises of God are yea and amen. No hesitation required. We have to lay hold on them by faith. God will not pry open our hands and hearts and force us to receive what he has for us. It's like the four lepers outside of Samaria's walls. They look at each other and said, 'If we stay here, we die. So why hesitate? Let's go into the encampment of the enemy and ask for food.'" God was so impressed with that kind of bold and daring faith. He gave them far more than they anticipated. Jesus paid it all. All you have to do is claim what he's already paid for. I know there's no shortage in heaven. And in that picturesque story of the reservoir and the reserves of heaven being depicted as a large warehouse with things filling the shelves, I like to think that there is a shelf with each of our names on it. It's our shelf. It's what God intends to do for us. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that must mean that he has blessings in store for each and every one of us. I began to pray a prayer years back. I said, "Lord, if there is a shelf in heaven that has my name on it and my family's name on it, God, I don't want to get to heaven at the end of the road and the end of my life and see that that shelf is still filled with things. I want to empty the shelf in heaven by faith. Each and every day, I want to reach up and claim the blessings of God. I believe it's our faith, our grit, our perseverance and persistence that causes the shelves of heaven to tilt our direction and rain down the intended blessings of God. Folks, the windows of heaven are open. All it requires is someone leaning into them by faith and saying, 'God, I believe in your world, there is no shortage. I may be faced with shortages here, inflation here, but God, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the gold and silver in every mine. Would you pour your blessings on me?'"
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed, 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.